And to the chilled out summer overtones of Will Smith and Jazzy Jeff, we once again say benvenuti and ciao ragazzi as we welcome you to episode 2 of the Summer of Sempre, our weekly Express News recap series aimed at keeping you, the Party No Pay faithful, bang up to date with all things Napoli. So without further ado, let me introduce tonight's co-hosts. First up, it's Yonkers' favourite barber and number one Napoli connoisseur, Rafa Rispo. How you doing, mate?
Summer of Sempre.
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great. Today's a good day. I'm overworked, but the news of our, you know, what we're going to get to today just kept me afloat today, my friends. Kept me afloat.
And joining myself and Rafa tonight is Sempre's very own answer to Stephen Merchant. It is, of course, the ever so eloquent Frank Sidekick. Frank, how you doing?
I'm very good, you cheeky young scallywag, you. Stephen Merchant. I get that every day. It's because, you know, I have it's either that or it's Brad Pitt. It's one or the other. But I'll go with Stephen this time. It's a good job we're hundreds of miles apart, James, because it would be jackets off outside.
Well, there is only one way to start the show, and that is to give a very warm Sempre welcome to Simon Green. Okay, let's try that again. Let's give a very warm Sempre welcome to Simone Verde. So, well, we had Well, we had a little joke at the name translation there. One person who wasn't joking around was our president, as he secured the versatile forward from Bologna for a fee in the region of €25 million. And we're going to tell you just how versatile Verde is in a moment with our very own Kenless rendition of Napoli stats. We do wish him well. He's working away just now. But before we do that, Frank, I'll come to you first, mate. What's the thoughts now that Verde is officially a Napoli player?
Oh, I'm really happy, really excited. You know, and what I think's most exciting about this is that we've got a versatile player who can play in a series of positions, but we've also got a manager that will rotate the squad and use him properly, and that just makes me really excited. And I think that, okay, we've actually got quite a lot of players up front now, and we might, dare I say it, see quite a lot of them play. And so Verdi is absolutely perfect for a manager that likes to rotate. So I'm absolutely delighted. And I think he's going to bring a lot to the team. He's not maybe a superstar signing, but I think that he will, you know, give us the depth that we needed. Maybe it's 6 months too late if I'm going to be really negative, but I think overall I'm absolutely delighted.
Yeah, I'm delighted for the move. I think ADL's a genius. You know, they say geniuses pick green, you know? Robert De Niro says it anyway, but anyway, whatever. He's a winger. He's a versatile winger. He can score. He can take free kicks. And apparently that's all he can do is score long shots and take free kicks. But
I love this. You know, I love this whole narrative. It's like, oh, no. Mm-hmm. It's like cheese. It only tastes nice and is great.
Exactly. No, in all seriousness, I'm delighted. And I don't know very many people who aren't delighted with the move. You know, Frank, you mentioned maybe 6 to 8 months a little too late, or, you know, we should have got him in the winter. But honestly, I really don't think I think he had a good enough reason to stay at Bologna. Would he have helped us? Maybe if he got in the game. But, you know, him staying at Bologna, staying true to their season, I thought showed, you know, in hindsight, a little bit of class on his part. Yeah. You know, the Napoli fans went off on him. You know, we all went off on him, like, oh, fine, don't come, you know, whatever. But I really think what he did was stand up. And I do recall his agent saying that he has signed for Napoli, he's just not ready to go there yet. So,
and he was true to his word, Rafa, wasn't he?
Yeah, and I remember that. Yeah, I remember that from last Mercato. And, you know, true to his word, he's Ancelotti's first signing. So, yeah, obviously he rates him because he sees you know, a superstar potential in him. And to be honest with you, I think it's good for not only for Napoli, but it's good for Italian soccer. You know, football. That's
what's this soccer game you speak of, bro?
Soccer. Napoli soccer. He's good for the Italian game also.
Sure.
I don't remember where I heard it, so I'm going to say this. I know I heard it on a podcast. I saw it on a tweet. I don't remember who it was, so forgive me for forgetting to mention you. But somebody said that the Italian national team has an issue with players on their team playing on teams that weren't as good. So the top two teams, like Juve, Napoli, Roma, not a lot of Italians. Verdi coming in could be a very big thing for the Italian national team, too. You get him, you know, a lot of experience at the top level, Champions League. And, you know, it could be a good thing for the sport in the country in general, not just with Napoli. And I'm very excited, as an Italian fan, obviously, I'm very excited for that. But he's just like a Callejon duplicate. That if we do actually sell Callejon, we've got Verdi now. Yeah. So I'm very excited. I don't know many people who aren't excited besides probably my cousin Dan.
What's up, Dan?
Daniele Meluzis at Napoli 8687. Give it to him on Twitter because he's like the only
family feud activated on Sempre here.
If you're listening, Dan, you know. Ancelotti's going to take us to the promised land, and he's going to do it with Verdi, baby.
I would like to see... Sorry, just to jump in here, but I think there is a universe with Callejon and Verdi, and I think that, you know, they've both got 10 goals and 10 assists last season, very similar records. And that's what squad depth's all about, isn't it? I mean, why not have both? And when one runs out of steam, put the other one in, I think. And, you know, that's the whole... brave new world of Ancelotti for me. You know, lots and lots of quality players that can come in when one runs out of steam.
Were they not two of the only three players who reached 10 goals, 10 assists last season in Serie A? I think they were. It was Verdi, it was Callejon, and someone else.
Luis Alberto, I think.
Yes. And I mean, you know, to have both of them on your team. There's nothing wrong with that.
No, absolutely. And I think he's also going to get better. I don't know what you think, James. I mean, he's 25 years old. And if you look at the kind of career stats, there's not much to set the world alight until really the past couple of seasons. So he's obviously one of those players that has sort of bloomed a little bit late, but is blooming with real sort of speed, I think. And so I think the sort of arc of his development has really spiked. So it could be a bit like, I mean, maybe this is putting too much pressure on, but you know when Drogba signed for Chelsea, he was actually quite an old player, wasn't he? And there are some players that really hit their peak in their sort of mid-20s. Verdi, to me, particularly looking at how he's playing this season in comparison to the season before, is really, really coming into his own. And I think it's a great, great signing to get him on a long contract. So is it a five-year contract, is it?
Yep.
Yeah, so to get him on a five-year contract now when he's just hitting his absolute peak as a player for about 20 million quid. So I think that's a fantastic deal. Bravo, ADL, once more. I think he's coming out of... really, he's had maybe his best... month, 2 months as Napoli owner. I don't know what you guys think.
Do you two want to get a room or something? That's like, am I going to get a word in here?
Sorry, James. Sorry.
James, what do you think about Verdi?
Well, we spoke about it last week, myself, Kenny and Marco, and we kind of talked about it before, obviously, it had happened. But now that he is officially a Napoli player, I guess that's an absolutely fantastic signing. I don't think there's any need for Callejon to go anywhere. I don't think, as a Zuri fan, Phil, if you're listening, sorry, but I think Callejon is here to stay. I think there is a universe, as you said. I think it was Frank said it, where both Callejon and Verdi can exist, and it is simply down to Verdi's versatility. We're going to go through, and again, Frank, thank you for providing these fantastic stats for me. This season, obviously, played 34 games, 10 goals, 10 assists, as you know, including a free kick from either foot against Crotone back in November. His career statistics, this just goes to show you the level of versatility that he has. As a central attacking midfielder, he's played 81 games, scored 11 goals and has 10 assists. As a right winger, 54 games, 13 goals and 13 assists. As a left winger, he's played there 20 times, 1 goal, 2 assists. Centre forward, 11 games and 3 goals. Right midfield, He's played 3 games and got 3 assists. And Frank, you've got SS on here. You're trying to throw me at 11:30 at night. What's SS?
I believe I'm using secondary striker. So which I don't know what that means actually, but it's probably a bit deeper as a centre forward.
Right. Cheers for that.
Sorry, Jay. I'm sorry.
So as a second striker, he has 8 games, 3 goals, and 1 assist. And he also has 1 sole game as a left midfielder, with no goals or assists there as well. Positionally this season, so let's just break down his games this season. So a right forward, 21 games, 7 goals, 8 assists. Centre forward, 8 games, 2 goals, no assists. Central attacking midfielder, 3 games, 1 goal, 2 assists. And attacking right midfielder, 2 games, no goals or assists. But you can see there, he plays across the whole range of that front line. I mean, that is ridiculous. Yeah. You know, you've got a guy there who can literally come in for anybody. And that's if Ancelotti chooses to go with a front three. But, you know, he's got the option to put Verdi in there, maybe, you know, as Frank says, you know, like a secondary striker sitting just behind a front two, play left, play right, play through the middle on his own, you know, set pieces, can use either foot as he showed against Crotone back in November. So
I mean, that is insane, Joe, to score a free kick with both feet. I mean, remember playing football, I'm left-footed, and I could barely stand on my right foot, let alone, I mean, to score both feet, that is incredibly exciting and unbelievably useful. If a game's tight and there's 5 minutes left and there's a direct free kick, wow, that'll be great. Can't wait for that.
Well, I mean, I don't play anymore, and I was a goalkeeper. Some may say not a very good one, but hey, but I was a goalkeeper. But you know, like all goalkeepers, you always fancy yourself as a bit of a striker when you're younger.
Yep.
So kind of those delusions of grandeur. And I was born right-footed, but I can use both feet. And the reason why I can use my left foot is because of the former Rangers and former AC Milan striker as well, is Mark Haitley, who was a favourite of mine growing up.
Great choice. Very smart player.
And he has probably one of the best left foot I've ever seen. Best header of a ball I've ever seen as well in my life. I'm on 2 eyes as well. But that's why I can use my left foot, because I used to take the ball round the big wall at the back of my tenement block that I stayed in. And I would just practice with my left foot, thinking I was Mark Haitley, but without the long hair. So there you go.
That's a strong mental image. A very strong mental image, Jim. Thank you.
just goes to show you, though. I mean, that versatility. I mean, that is an insane range that you've got there of positions that guy can fill. So that only bodes well. The versatility is just ridiculous. I mean, just can't praise ADL enough. He's went out and got the business done early. The World Cup hasn't even started yet, but we do obviously have more pressing positions as well. We do need to fill. We will touch on them towards the end of the show. I think everybody knows what that one's going to be mainly focused on. But no, welcome, Simone Verdi. We can't wait to report on you and talk about you in the kind of coming season. Absolutely excited to see exactly what you're going to be capable of. But we'll move on now to Jorginho and Manchester City, a topic. There it is. Rafa's already setting the tone for this one.
I'm going to brace myself for your rant, James. Hang on. I'm just going to put on a hard helmet now.
I don't think it's going to be so much of a rant. I just think a couple of seasons ago when we started this show, there was the link with Koulibaly to Chelsea. And we, in our fledgling days as a Twitter account and a podcast, were subjected to the free Koulibaly hashtags and the self-righteous, self-entitled, overly opinionated, arrogant overtones of Premier League fans, not all, but many of them, who simply believed that they had to turn up at our door with an envelope, take out how much money they felt the player was worth, and that we should just take it. And now we're seeing the exact same thing again here with Manchester City, a club who, for me, have absolutely no history, a club who, for me, will always be in Manchester United's shadow. You can come at me on Twitter if all you like about that. Without your very rich owner's money, you would be absolutely nothing. So I think you just have to wind your neck in a bit. The fee has been set by our president. You paid £50 million last summer for an English fullback from Tottenham Hotspur called Kyle Walker, who is decent but only went for that level of money because A, he's English, and B, he plays in the Premier League. So you are getting, and he will go, I think it is an absolute certainty that he will go, but Manchester City will be getting one of the best defensive midfielders, ball-retaining midfielders that have come out of Italy in God knows how many years. His possession statistics are ridiculous. He broke his own pass completion record 3 times in successive weeks last season. So I just think that they are accusing Napoli of holding on to an unhappy player over, you know, a couple of million. The gap's more than a couple of million here. You're talking about 10. You know, they're coming in with about 51. I think ADL wants around about the 60 mark.
Which I don't think is unreasonable at all.
It's not unreasonable. No. Well, there's Liverpool paid $75 million for Virgil van Dijk. Is Virgil van Dijk as good a defender as he is? Is he a £75 million defender? No. Not in a million years.
Yeah, you know, who's better in the world than Jorginho in his position? Would you say? Well, there's maybe a couple, maybe Busquets, maybe, I don't know. There's not many.
I'm sorry. I on City Watch posted a tweet, and I got into a fight argument with a City fan, and this particular City fan, which I will remain nameless, he will remain nameless. When I said that Jorginho is top 5 in Europe, he said he's probably top 5 in Serie A, but couldn't even start on Manchester City. So I don't even know what the freaking big deal is for Manchester City to try to rush this.
Yeah, why are they so desperate for him then?
You're so desperate for a person who's telling me that he can't even start. Give me a break, man. And that's the beginning of my rant. Go ahead, James. Continue.
No, I just think it's a case of, you know, it's a league where, and it's well known, I don't particularly rate the league, especially these days. I did like it way back, you're talking about early 2000s, you know, again, the great Man United side, the great Arsenal side, you know, whenever those two had their rivalry. Ferguson against Wenger, and then Mourinho came in and stuff like that. You know, it was good stuff. I just think now it's almost like the quality has been diluted. All these, I just don't see it. It's more money in the game, but the quality doesn't seem to be quite what it was 10 years ago. Maybe that might just sound like an old guy having a moan, but I think a lot of these fans that are coming at the Sempre account regarding Jorginho are a bunch of kids who are too young to remember when their sides were languishing in the lower divisions before they had all the money from the rich foreign owner and the Premier League money. This is a league, remember. I don't want to hate on the Premier League, but this is a league that pays relegated clubs in excess of $60 million over 3 years for being relegated.
And do you see an increase in quality, as you say? I'm with you, James. Maybe I'm also an old man that's complaining or whatever, but I mean, I'm English, and so the league's everywhere. I don't actually watch that much of it. I watch a lot of Italian football. But it's not getting better. There's more money, and the quality's going down. I actually saw Manchester City play Macclesfield Town in the league. And they scraped a 1-0 victory over Macclesfield Town. And that wasn't a million years ago. That was about 10, 15 years ago. And as you say, James, I'm with you. I think that the only reason this club is where they are is because of the financial doping that is going on because of their very, very wealthy owners. And interestingly, today, was it today or yesterday, Jorginho's agent saying he would be very happy to go to stay in Naples. It's just the Man City move would be the opportunity of a lifetime, which I think is fair enough. So this whole false narrative that's being spread by City fans saying that he will come back unhappy, I think we all have seen Jorginho, seen his Instagram, seen his statements. He's a man that loves the city of Naples, clearly, and I don't think he's lying on that sense. So, yeah, I think it's all part of this rather tacky Premier League nonsense, trying to cause trouble where they don't really need to. Just pay the money, man.
And we're not holding him hostage. You know, that's some of the things where you're holding the guy hostage, let him go. And it is an opportunity of a lifetime to play in a Pep Guardiola team. We get that. But, you know, to try and turn Napoli, you know, there was a thing as well, one account had a couple of thousand followers, and it says, let's get this trending, you know, free Jorginho, let's make them, and Kenny had a right good laugh at this as well when I showed him the screenshot, let's make them give us Jorginho. Well, just stump up the money.
Yeah.
Pay the 60.
Here's my question, is what is the rush? What's the rush? The summer didn't even start. It's clear Jorginho wants to go, and it's clear that Manchester City wants Jorginho. And it's clear that De Laurentiis is willing to deal him. but the issue is a couple of million bucks. That's fine. But what's the rush? Because I see Guardiola's getting tired of Camp Guardiola's getting tired of Napoli holding out to wait for a replacement for Jorginho. And then they have the gall to tell to accuse Napoli of holding Jorginho hostage. If you don't know by now, Napoli, that's how they do their business. And apparently they don't know. We normally wait to get our replacement to sell off our players. We did it with Cavani. When we bought Cavani, we sold Quagliarella. We did it with Higuain. When we bought Higuain, then we sold Cavani. And we had to sell Higuain because Juventus hit the release clause.
Yeah, the clause.
But we were already in advanced talks with Milik, so his replacement was coming too. So that's look at Sarri. Sarri's still on our books, but we have Ancelotti. That's the way we do business. And if they don't know and can't respect that, then it's their problem. Another thing is that they say, well, De Laurentiis has all summer long, 2 months long, until the transfer window closes to find a replacement. So if, by your logic, Man City fans, what's the rush? Why are you putting a rush on Napoli to sell Jorginho?
Great,
you know,
point.
I don't understand that. It makes no sense. By your own logic, you're rushing us to sell Jorginho, but you're telling us, oh, we have 2 months to find a replacement. You have 2 months to finish the purchase. Chill out.
I think there's also an element they might be a little bit concerned that if Sarri does make his way to Chelsea, that, you know, perhaps that Sarri could turn around and go, I want Jorginho. Perhaps they're worried about being hijacked by another Premier League club. I don't know whether that's going to go through. I've seen Football Italia just put something out saying that talks are going to resume tomorrow between Chelsea and Napoli to try and get Sarri released from his clause. And I'm like, oh, here we go again. I'm past caring. We've got our manager. We've got Ancelotti. You know, Verdi's coming in. It's all positive for us. Off the back of a record-breaking point season last year, let's just try and go again. But I mean, I've seen this thing as well, Zinchenko's name coming up has been thrown in as part of the deal. I don't want Zinchenko.
No.
I've only ever heard of the guy because he was mentioned last year as kind of being part of this deal that was going to get put together in the summer. You know, we want the cash for the players. You know, there's no release clause there, so, you know, just we value the player at 60 million euros. That's the fee.
And I thought I saw that De Laurentiis was even willing to go down 5. You know, if you're not happy with De Laurentiis, willing to at least budge 5 million euro.
Which here, by the way, that's some doing, by the way.
Yeah, that's he doesn't do that often, does he?
No. So take it.
No. I just think it just reeks of entitlement. You know, we want your player, just give us your player. And I put out a tweet in my personal account and I did laugh. There was a guy, he's blocked now, because he got a bit abusive, but it was funny. He did make me laugh. There was a guy, I tried to just kind of type an English accent as a tweet, and he came back at me and he says something about, what are you doing some fake Yorkshire Ripper accent for? And the line that got me, yeah, Aldi Frankie Boyle. That cracked me up, by the way. I was gone.
I think that's great. I think you should be proud of that. I mean, I'm a poor man, Stephen Merchant. And you're the Aldi Frankie. I think you definitely win in that one. I love Frankie Boy. He's great. And I like Aldi. I think they do some excellent food. And
yeah, here. See, lesser sponsor. There's no, let's not name drop any businesses here. No, come on, Frank. That's us.
I'll leave my address anyway. At the end.
Yes, aye. Make checks payable too, Mr. Frank Dodge sidekick. But Hamshik then in China, there's been more developments on that as well. Guangzhou Evergrande, what a great name for a team. Managed, of course, by
Fabio.
Yes, thank you very much. Managed by Fabio Cannavaro. They've bid in the region of 16 million, but ADL wants closer to 30, as Manchester City fans across the world listening to this roll their eyes at ADL daring to want more money yet again. His captain does have 3 years remaining on his current contract, and Hamshik's father has recently said that it's a 60-40 split in favour of China that his son does depart the San Paolo this summer. Other targets to replace Marek Hamsik include Sampdoria's as Torreira, although he's close to a move to Arsenal by all accounts this evening. We do have Fabian Ruiz of Real Betis, a 30 million release clause which Napoli are very said to be interested in activating. And then another thing I've seen tonight as well, our friends over at SSC in America, they put a tweet out saying that Rafa Oriema has said that ADL has two further, quote, strong signings lined up. So, wonder who they're going to be. Hopefully one of them is a goalkeeper. The Marek Hamsik stuff, guys, just to kind of expand a little bit on what we said last week, again, with Kenny and Marco. I don't think this is the way Marek Hamsik should be leaving Napoli. I think that this man deserves a benefit game. He deserves a testimonial, a send-off, a big party. I know he's not won anything apart from that Coppa and the Supercoppa and whatnot, but I don't think that a man who's given blood, sweat, tears, every ounce of his being to this football club deserves to just simply walk out the back door to China. I think that it would be absolutely heartbreaking to see. I mean, the thought of a Napoli team walking out onto the pitch without that mohawk is actually quite sad.
Yeah, sad. It is sad. But I mean, listen, if his career is going to go any way the season went from here on out, then you know he's got to somehow, if he wants to stay at Napoli, accept a lesser role in the club. He's got to, not necessarily in the you know clubhouse or in the you know locker room as a leader, but on the pitch. I mean, I'll say it. I've said it so many times to you guys and to Twitter and to we get a third of what Marek Hamsik did in the past, especially you know the season before this past season. We win the Scudetto hands down. You know, and if for him to not have shown up this year was big. I do agree that he shouldn't be leaving under these circumstances, though. I do, 100%. And that's my take on that, yeah.
Yeah, it would be heartbreaking to see him just, shuffled out the back. He is Mr. I mean, for me, he's kind of Mr. Napoli. You know, he's the second greatest player we've ever had. He's turned down a lot of moves, turned down a lot of money as well. And I don't know how the Chinese season works and when they play, or whether there could be a benefit or a testimonial, because I think that's a sort of bare minimum. Personally, I think a lot's going to depend on Carlo Ancelotti, you know, and what he's doing behind the scenes, how he envisages Napoli to play, how Hamsik's going to fit into that. But yeah, if he does go, there should be street parties, festivals, fireworks, plays, musicals, operas, all written about Marek Hamsik, because I absolutely adore that man, and he's, you know, done some of the most magical things you could possibly imagine in a Napoli shirt. So we've got to give him a big send off if he goes. I hope he stays for one more season, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's
at least one.
Yeah.
I mean, Rafa, you picked up a point there as well about leadership, and I think, you know, it's not just. What worries me as well is the fact that we've lost Pepe Reina, you know, and I know Pepe Reina didn't. We've got our views on Pepe Reina. I know they don't mirror those in Naples, and maybe it's the outside perspective that kind of lets us see that a little bit more clearly. But to lose Reina and the obvious dressing room influence that he has, and then to lose Marek Hamsik, the man who wears the armband, I just think you're losing two massive, massive influences in that dressing room. Now, Ancelotti could well obviously bring in, Ancelotti himself is going to be a big influence in that dressing room, you know, certainly far bigger. I mean, you imagine your dressing room door opens for your first game and that guy walks in. I mean, you know, a total air of respect and quite possibly in awe of this man. This man has won everything there is to win pretty much in the club game. So there is that aspect, but I just think on the pitch you need the manager's voice on the pitch. Marek Hamsik very much was that. Pepe Reina as well in the dressing room, as I said, we know what a character he was. So losing two big characters like that, I do think we need to try and make sure that we do have people in and around the club who are willing to step up. I think Lorenzo Insigne is certainly one who will relish you know, any responsibility. He's already stepped up as vice captain already a few times this season, either whenever Hamsik comes off or when Hamsik was rested or injured. So I don't think we've any issues there. I do think Lorenzo Insigne, quite possibly, if Hamsik goes, will be Ancelotti's captain.
I really hope so. He was for Italy in Turin as well, wasn't he? That was good to see.
You know, bearing in mind that Ancelotti's already said that in the past anyway that one Italian player he wanted to coach was Insigne, so he's getting his wish there. But no, again, just to finish that off, I do hope that he doesn't sulk out the back door and off to China. That would be very sad.
It's probably noteworthy to say that Cannavaro has come out and said that he won't be the one to take Napoli. To take Hamsik from Napoli, so he would want like Marek to come out and you know, probably leave, go somewhere else, and then take him. He said he'd love to have him, but he doesn't. Him being Neapolitan and loving the team as much as he says he does, doesn't want to have to be the one to do that. So that's probably something we can think about as well.
I think that's smart. That's a smart political move from a guy who's from Naples and knows what the city's like. I don't think he wants any trouble when he comes back, I think.
No, I think if Hamsik comes out and publicly says, and he already has said that he wants to sample the lifestyle over there, I think that would make it far easier, because then it would be seen as obviously the player himself now wants to go. It's not like he's been kind of, you know, we're not being pickpocketed by a former player from afar. But we'll move on now to goalkeepers. So Mattia Perin has gone. He has joined Juventus to sit on their bench. So the two players that we're looking at now...
Hey, he can't get hurt like that, right?
Well, oh, guys.
it's true. He's not going to oust Chesney. Come on.
He's not. No, he's not. So look at it this way. He's helping his knees out.
Well, put it this way, I was disappointed, right? Because we all know he was the guy I thought was going to come in, but there was question marks over his distribution, but under Ancelotti that probably wasn't going to be as much of an issue, so I thought there might be a chance. At 15 million, it would have been a great deal, but at the end of the day, Ancelotti does not want him. So, you know, we've moved on to obviously the kind of main name that's popping up, or the two main names are Sirigu and Leno. I believe the Leno deal is struggling because of ye old faithful and his rights. So we'll see what happens there. Sirigu was at Torino last season. I didn't check before we came on air. Is he still at Torino, or what was the length of his contract there?
I have absolutely no idea.
I believe he is still under contract with Torino.
I mean, he's not a... I mean, also, can I just say, what goalkeeper needs image rights? You know what I mean? It's not the most glamorous, but I can't imagine the Lino duvet covers selling well in Luxembourg or whatever. I don't know. But I think Sirigu would be quite an underwhelming signing. I don't know what you guys think, but that wouldn't get me particularly excited. But we have to trust Carlo Ancelotti, and I would like to personally say happy birthday to Carlo Ancelotti.
Oh, yes, auguri, mister.
But I think out of those two, we'd presumably want Leno more than Sirigu, would you say?
Well, I liked Sirigu when he was at PSG. You know, he was there for 6 years, and then he very oddly fell out the picture, went on loan to Sevilla, and then in the same season, after just two appearances, he went to Osasuna on loan, 18 appearances there, league appearances, and then again he joined up at Torino for the start of this season that's just finished, and he is still there, obviously. Just flicking through here, Torino.
He is
still under contract there, 37 appearances this year, so he's you know, pretty much an ever-present, so there's no kind of worries over fitness. 31 years old as well, so still plenty of years ahead of him. I was a fan
of his. He was at Palermo before he went to Paris, and I think, you know, I always kind of rated him. I did, and especially when he went to Paris, I thought he played really well, and I wouldn't be that upset that he comes in. It's just you know, going from Rui Patricio, who just won the European Cup, you know, and is playing in the World Cup, to Leno, who might actually get a start in the World Cup because of their keeper's fitness. His name is escaping. You know, and then now to Sidigu, who's gotten, like, no, you know, he doesn't really start with, you know, Italy. He went from Paris Saint-Germain playing in the Champions League to down to Osasuna, down to Torino. So it kind of feels like he's on a slide. But then you never know, coming in with a manager like Ancelotti, with a Champions League opportunity again, these can rejuvenate, you know, players. And and him coming in, knowing like where he's going to stand in the team too, is sort of, you know, I feel could revitalize his career. And I always thought he was a great shot stopper, so I wouldn't be too upset. Like everybody said here, in Carlo we trust. No acquisition this year. I'm not going to be upset with any acquisition this year, because it's obvious and apparent that a guy like Ancelotti would come into the team and ADL would have to take some sort of advice from him. Like, I don't believe that ADL signed Ancelotti and said, okay, so you're going to follow and you're going to coach the players that I decide to sign with Giuntoli. That's it. You know, I mean, refuse to believe that.
But how long is this goalkeeping saga? I mean, I just want us to sign a flipping goalkeeper. I mean, I don't...
We've known this was happening for ages. This is an annoying thing. Reina was leaving the minute he stood under the curva last summer and waved bye-bye and was in tears and whatnot, and basically, you know, tugged on the heartstrings to try and get a new contract, and then pleaded about being allowed to go to PSG, and it didn't happen. And, you know, so we've known that this is bloody happening. So... Yeah. I mean, I just want to kind of pick up one thing here, guys. This made me chuckle while you two were talking there. This is on Wikipedia, right? So I'm taking this with a pinch of salt, but these are meant to be updated pretty, right? So listen to this. You'll like this. So born in Sardinia, Italy, Sidigu started his football career in Venezia's youth system, playing as a midfielder. He was known back then for his powerful back heels, which he used to take penalty kicks. He had been training as an attacker for his local amateur side, Puri E Forte, at 11 years old, when coaches concluded that his asthma condition would hinder him too much as an outfield player. Instead, by observing Sirigu's unusually large hands, they told him to go in goals.
Wow, that is a story. Wow,
that's incredible.
A Sardinian boy with large hands becoming a goalkeeper. Beautiful story.
Didn't you just talk about aspiring to be a striker before you decided to go in goal?
I
was one myself when I was like 5-6 years old when I first started. Then I just I don't have the feet, so
I can't back heel a ball, mate. I just fall over it.
I have to say the Sempre Podcast 5-a-side team isn't sounding particularly impressive.
No, we'd get pumped every week, mate. That's just the truth.
Yeah. Yeah,
the old 5-a-side team that I used to play for, called Blazing Saddles, that still play up at Powell. Yes, Blazing Saddles were named after that film.
Forza Blazing Saddles, separate.
It's as part of the initiation for joining the team, you had to watch the movie. So, but they still play. They still play up at is it Goals in Shawlands? They still play up there. So, big shout out to Deco, Stevo, Martin, Phil, Mark. Hope you're doing well. I have long retired after fracturing my toe, making a save after two games into my comeback, but there we go. I think even those boys who struggle to put out a team every week would probably give the Sempre Podcast 5-a-side team a right old hiding. So
I've only ever scored one goal, and it was in front of Bobby Charlton. And I will not bore you with the details of this yet. So I...
Christ, we'll move on then. We did have an Ask Sempre, but if we went through Ask Sempre, we would pretty much be here for well over an hour. I'm just going to give a kind of shout out to the people as well who did send us the questions, because there was a lot of them. We had... Francesco Iovino, he gave us a few as well, more than a few, about six actually. So we will get to those. They are still pretty relevant. They're all about Ancelotti and Jorginho. I think we've answered the Jorginho point, but we are going to kind of We'll get to those on next week's show. It's all very Ancelotti specific and views for the new season, so there's still plenty of time to answer that. So thank you to Francesco for sending those in, and apologies, we're not going to get to them. We've run well over the allotted half hour. So I'm just going to finish this one up here, gents. It's been an absolute pleasure. A lot of fun tonight, a bit more lighthearted. I think last week was very serious between Kenny, Marco and myself. The mix we've had this evening has been very jovial, to say the least.
Can only apologise to our listeners, I'm sorry.
So don't forget, folks, you can follow us on Twitter at SempreSSCNapoli. Check out the website at SempreSSCNapoli.com. Follow myself at JR McGee on Twitter. Get Rafa at RafaNapoli83. Frank at Frank Sidekick. If you're listening on iTunes, don't forget to drop on a 5-star review and give us a few words about what you think about the show. Regardless of where you live, we now know we can view reviews worldwide. So whatever you say to us, we can read them. And just a kind of shout as well, if you do subscribe to the podcast as well, whatever platform you listen on, hit that subscribe button. And obviously you will get the latest show the second that we hit the upload button, but it also raises the show up the iTunes charts as well and raises awareness of the show. So that is much appreciated if you can help us out and do that as we continue to grow and bring this podcast to you guys on a weekly basis. So the week ahead, let's see what next week brings. Rumours, transfers, big signings, hopefully, as Ori Emma hinted at, who knows, and maybe even a goalkeeper with big hands. Until next time, guys. Ciao ragazzi. Forza Napoli.
Sempre. Sempre. Ali, ali, ali.